This is a continuation of the May 3rd, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 718 for property ID 17968300. The property is owned by Dean Barris and Marianne Barris. Board members present by video conference are John Rose, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant, so I'll hand it back to the board.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on the information available. Any questions?
No questions.
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the May 3rd, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 714 for property ID 264410000. The property is owned by Curtis Brasso and Stephanie Brasso. Board members present by video conference are John Rose, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Curtis Brasso present over video chat for the appellant. We don't have your video feed on our end, which is fine. No worries there. But do actually go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
Sure.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yep.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind the assessor has presumption of correctness, so you have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Pretty much everything I had previously submitted, like whenever that was, last fall, I think. I basically just wanted to try and get rid it listed that I had a mobile home still on my account or on my property record on the on the property that had been removed prior to our purchase of the house. That was just a shed. They'd removed the mobile home. I'd never even seen it. It was just a shed with a lean-to. And then the outbuildings. And then the massive jump in the assessed property value made me take a closer look, and I caught that. And I was like, we did add the pool, and I understood that would add some degree of value, obviously, but it just made me take a closer look at what else was being on there, because I'd never really looked that closely at it. Because my neighbor's got a similar size, I think the same people built both houses, so we have a very similar, size house, size property, so that they're very similar in specs and everything, other than, I think, an acre. But
you have an appraisal here that says it's 980 as of 1/16/22.
You're not disputing the value here. I see that you didn't put an estimate. You're only disputing the structure that was on the.
I thought the appraised value as of the 1st of 2022 was fairly high prior to at that point there was no pool. The pool hadn't been constructed as of January 1, 2022.
So the appraisal doesn't have a pool in it?
Not to my knowledge. No, the appraisal was to get money for the pool that we were putting in.
Got it. So would that include the pool? I don't know.
We have not had an appraisal since the pool was not completed until August of 22.
Doesn't look like doesn't look like they have a pool listed here.
Yeah, they do, Dan. They have a pool on their record.
The permits have been pulled. The permits have been pulled, but
I'm talking about the appraisal. I don't see it on the appraisal. Oh. So you obviously did not include it in the appraisal.
It wasn't there yet.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
The assessor has the pool in there.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. The assessor included the pool in the assessment, but
so you're looking to get them to remove the mobile home off of the.
Yeah, just get that, yes, basically scrap that. And I just thought it was weird that they included a pool that didn't exist yet. based on permits that had been pulled. Based on permits that had been pulled. Yeah,
but they didn't pull the mobile home off.
they pulled the permits. We didn't even, we broke ground on the pool February 15th of 22.
Yeah, okay. Got it. Okay, any other questions, John or Don?
No question.
Okay, I think we have it. Thank you. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
All right.
Okay.
Easy enough. Easy breezy and beautiful.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Bye.
Close
the hearing.
This is a continuation of the May 3rd, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 711 for property ID 986-057-918. The property is owned by Sung Cho and Teresa Nguyen. Board members present by video conference are John Rose, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Sung Cho present over video chat for the appellant. I know we don't have video feed, that's totally fine, but do actually go ahead and raise your right hand, and we'll get you sworn in.
Okay.
You swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yeah, I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor. We're here to make a decision on your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So right. Unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. I don't have any further questions. So it's a brand new development in Ridgefield. It's a very popular floor plan, and we got the very basic entry level floor plan with no bells and whistles. The model home, which is like two houses away from us, had every upgrade possible to show folks, what's possible with the home to upgrade. And my other neighbor, who has the same floor plan, two houses the other way, went further than that and upgraded as much as he could, interior, exterior. And I think that houses like that are raising the value of the neighborhood and making it seem like my home is possibly in that ballpark or in that assessment as well. But I did not do hardly any upgrades that the neighbors and the model home has. So I was wondering if the assessment value was kind of brought up by some of those other houses that had a ton of upgrades, and if you could take another look.
Okay, you purchased a house in February of 2022, right?
Yes, sir.
For $716,000.
Yes, sir.
And you had an appraisal as of January of 2022 that said it was $850,000, and I assume that was based on the plans and finished product. Or was it based on the finished product?
I guess it was maybe close to the finished product, but I think that, the last couple of years, the market's been crazy, and now it's starting to even out again.
Like, yeah, the problem is we have to take the value as of January 1st, 2022, which is, you know, is pretty much what you paid for it, I guess, 716.
Okay, well, I just wanted to put that in front of you and have a conversation with y'all.
It's probably a conversation you can have next year and provide some comparable properties. If they have actually gone down in value, then you can use that for an argument next year.
All right. Okay, so there's nothing else.
Any other questions, John or John?
No, I don't have any questions. Thank you.
No further questions.
Okay. I think we have it.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. So I'll just get something in the mail.
Yeah, within 30 days, you'll get a written response from us.
All right. Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you. Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the May 3rd, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 715 for property ID 127502148. The property is owned by Chi Ming Chui. Board members present by video conference are John Rose, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present at the assessor's office, but we do have Chi Ming Chui present over the phone for the appellant, excuse me. So I know we can't see you, but go ahead and raise your right hand and we'll get you sworn in.
My right hand is raised.
Thank you.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes, I affirm.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption in correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like her decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have any other questions. And I want to thank the board for giving me an opportunity to state my case today. So I assume that you have everything I submitted. And yes. So I'll just summarize. The assessor office believes that my home value on January 1st, 2022 is $534,486. After I did the same research and you looked at their comparables that they used for the assessment, and I went to the property GIS and clicked on January 1 that it was used for the assessment by the office. Yep. And I looked at all the properties and I completed the comparable sales worksheet on four properties or as a comparable. And I landed using their own numbers that all the properties that straight from that website that they said they used. I came up with, you know, four properties and I looked at the average, sales value per square foot, because it's not assessed value, it's sales value. And I just picked what my property is in the middle. So it would range from, if you look at the worksheet and that I completed, it ranged anywhere from $255.69 to as high as $265.76. And I just tried to be fair and just looked at the average of the four and came in there like around $260.24. And if you multiply that by my 1,931 square footage, I get to my number of $502,523. So it's not that far difference, but it is a difference between what they say my assessed value is and what I think my assessed value is, a 6% difference. So that's my case. And now I open up to any questions if you have any.
Well, that's pretty good analysis. I have no more questions. I think that's well stated.
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Pardon me?
I don't have any questions either. I've looked at what you've submitted.
That's fine.
You okay, Mr. Rose? Yeah.
Yeah, no questions.
Okay. All right. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay. So it sounds great. And again, thank you for your time, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
Bye. Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the May 3rd, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 710 for property ID 920-07488. The property is owned by Richard J. Decker and Arlene E. Decker. Board members present by video conference are John Rose, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant, so I'll hand it back to the board.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the May 3rd, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 717 for property ID 218-041-000. The property is owned by Ashley Constantine Flapper and Kevin Andreas Flapper. Board members present by video conference are John Rose, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Ashley Flapper present over video chat for the appellant. So go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and further explain your appeal.
I've actually never done one of these hearings. I just wanted to be here to listen, and I had turned in the comparables that I did the research on. And that's basically what that is my evidence. I have no significant updates in my home. I think it jumped up $80,000, and at the time of the market, I know I couldn't sell it for what it was being assessed at, for what my home is compared to the ones that have sold.
So your 690 just comes from those three comparables there.
Correct.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay. I have no further questions.
Okay.
Hi, Ashley. No, I don't have any questions.
Okay, John.
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. I think we have the picture. Okay. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye-bye. Ashley.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the May 3rd, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 713 for property ID 129-651-000. The property is owned by Joellen Jarvis and William D. Watson. Board members present by video conference are John Rose, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Joellen Jarvis present over video chat for the appellant. So go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. Well, I submitted four comparables that I feel are fairly similar to my property. And I'm an appraiser by trade, so I did it on an appraisal form just for ease. But the after all of the adjustments and after all the adjustments, I ended up with a range of value between $744,750 and $874,950. The assessor had a value estimate of
What did you say your top range was? 744 to
874,950. Okay. And the one that was at the top end of the range, the only reason I put it in there is because it's located on the same street as me. But that particular house, I've been in it, and the people gutted it and started over. So I gave a $50,000 adjustment for remodel, but I think that was, I know they put four times as much into it. And the house is about half the size of our house, so it's not a great comparable, but I did put it in there because it's on the same street. The other ones were more similar in size and in style, and also were in the general area. And those had the range from 744 to 836. And I came out, I concluded 825, which I thought was, I actually am not really sure we'd get that. Because our house is, we bought the house and it was built without permits originally. So it's not like a lot of the other houses here. It needed a lot of work, and we've been slowly working on it, but it's not like the rest in the neighborhood. Whenever we did our first round of remodeling, we did redo the master bedroom and master bath. But other than that, it's been mostly, replacing the roof, which wasn't put on right, and fixing up things that just brought it back up to par. So it hasn't had a lot of the remodel of a lot of the houses out here. I think it truly is a, 1990 house, with the exception of a new master bathroom. It's got, vinyl or Formica countertops in the bathrooms, and the kitchen is pretty much the original. So anyway, the comparables that I used, a lot of them it had a little bit of remodeling, but they weren't the newer, better houses like a lot of them are out here. So that's my, those were what I found as most similar properties. And I didn't see, did the assessor show his comparables? I didn't see where he did, where I could take a look at what he did.
No. Did we set the value on this last year? It's a round number, so it looks like one we would have set.
Yes, we did the same thing last year.
Got it. Okay.
I don't have any questions on it.
Okay.
No, I don't have any further questions.
Okay, you'll hear from us within 30 days.
All right. Thanks very much for your time. Let me meet my cat. Sorry.
Thank you. Okay. Pretty cat.
Thanks. My secretary.
Yeah, right.
All right. Have a good day.
Thanks. Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the May 3rd, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have an extended time period for this case, so we have 30 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 251 for property ID 10375000. The property is owned by Karen D. Knudsen and David A. Knudsen and is under trustees. Board members present by video conference are John Rose, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have David Knudsen present over video chat for the appellant. So go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I affirm.
Great, thank you. Just to remind you that we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision.
Understood.
So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, so I have numerous files that have been sent in. So if you bring up the file that says... Read me first. I think that's what it says. Hold on a second. Yeah. Readmefirst.pdf. So as I'm looking to the left of the screen, I'm referencing to that. So again, this is in regards to my petition 251, property ID in Clark County at 10375000. The most current assessment for the land by the assessor is 2099, and with improvements of 407312 for a total of 61612. I am a designated broker in the state of Washington, and I have been since 1994. It would be my opinion that my opinion is a little bit more strong than a typical homeowner. So I do have attached the PDF, my opinion, as one were to skim through it. And this is actually produced 4 or 5 years ago, the first time I ever had to appeal an assessment. Then I had done over 2,700 transactions, and there's actually screenshots of searching for that information. And so we'll move on from that. Bottom line is, I have been involved in a lot of transactions, in my real estate career, and I understand how markets work. While there once was a time, you could appeal your assessment and actually get good feedback from the assessor. It took me a few years to figure it out, but I have finally figured out that at least all the assessments that I have appealed have all been based upon automatic valuation models. So there's a file marked flawed, avmdata.pdf, and I'm going to read from it. So again, an automatic valuation model, or AVM, is a software-based tool that is used both in residential and commercial real estate. As you go through that first paragraph, I've inserted the word "pay attention" to this one. It has an administrative interface. In other words, someone can go in and edit, add or delete, or manipulate the data for real estate valuation. For me, this becomes extremely problematic because by definition, the assessor is part of a political party, and as far as I know, it's a political office. I have numerous times, both in writing and by telephone, and by email pointed out issues in regards to this specific property that we're now dealing with today in the duplex, trying to get them to answer for me things like the basement under at least City of Vancouver regulation is not an inhabitable. It's not high enough, and we'll get to that data in a little bit. In other words, high enough by the clear space from the bottom of the floor to the height. Therefore, Mr. Assessor, what are you assessing the basement at? Never responds, never gives me any information. If there were ever a system that needed reform and needed transparency, honesty, and integrity, from my opinion, it's obviously the assessor's office. I personally don't believe anything they tell me, based upon my experience of seeing how off these things are. So there's all kinds of things on the internet about how inaccurate these systems are. However, they do work in certain systems or in certain ways, such as cookie cutter properties. A good example of cookie cutter properties would be the numerous tract homes in the mid to late 90s and into the mid 2000s that were developed by Aho Construction. At one time, they basically had three models of homes: the 1089/1076. That's just either 1,089 square feet or 1,076 square feet, based upon how the house laid out on the lot. A two-car garage on a lot. The 1448, which was a three-bedroom, two-bath house. Only difference between the other one was it had a family room and a formal dining room. And the 2000 model, which was a four-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath house on the same size lots. One could, with great accuracy, not even see the property and quickly figure out its value. Doesn't work when there's too many dissimilarities in the properties. Skimming on down to what I found to be an interesting thing near the end of the information I've put. The problem with data-driven home value estimates. When determining property value, data alone can inaccurately generate an estimate. Data-driven models do not use critical specific features such as interior condition and upgrades. Location may be a factor, but not always the best location. Sometimes an AVM will compare properties within the same zip code and not narrow down the comparison of properties that are closer to one another within the same zip code. And then it gives an example of oceanfront condos, how that the valuations were way off in the next paragraph, $80,000 difference. Of course, I recently have experienced this in regards to a condo that I own. For instance, the assessor made a blanket statement with no evidence that the market went up 23%. Well, does that mean the market for condos went up 23%? And what market? Was that just single family homes? Was that all residential property? Did that include land? One thing I know from selling real estate for a long time, as an example, condos is a very, very, very small slice of the pie. Just like what we're about to look at here, duplexes, a very small slice. Let's talk about a big problem, which as you scan down on that, this is from a residential multiple listing service input form that agents fill out and homeowners typically will sell. It says, note, total square footage as reported by the seller's broker. For source of information and description of square footage, contact the selling broker square footage. It includes both finished and unfinished areas, excluding attached garage, and is not intended to represent legal or livable square footage. Now, let me give you real life examples of how this impacts things. Back to any kind of property with a full basement. I've seen over the years people spend lots of money on full basements thinking that its value in a fair and open market is going to be the same as value on the main floor. Well, usually not. Why? Because usually the basements, if it's an older property, wasn't built with current egress standards, isn't up to fire code safety standards. Usually the stairs are off, etc. And usually the source of heat is not the same as on the first floor. The city of Vancouver, of course, has taken these issues and taking it to its logical extent and actually has come up with regulations that prevent older homes' basements being used for quote-unquote livable square footage. And in the past, attached are different valuations in the past in regards to this property by this board. So in the assessment year 2020, I'm assessed at 446,254. Board reduces it to 307. In the next assessment year, my assessment's 524,499. The board reduces it to 355. That's assessment year 2021. And that's all for that file. I'm going to reference to the left to see where I'm going next. Oh, so as I'm beginning to interpret this, so then when it comes to this opinion or anybody's opinion, assessor's opinion, if you have flawed data, and it isn't just basements that are affected by both livable and unlivable square footage being reported. I have seen it in outbuildings. Outbuildings or garages on the outside. Why? Because an agent can include square footage of all garages as quote unquote potentially livable square footage or potential square footage in their total square footage count, so long as it's not an attached garage. So obviously, there's some significant problems in both the data and in the valuation methods. Last year, when it came to the land, I actually chose not to dispute the value of the land. And I did it on purpose because I wanted to see how ridiculously stupid the assessor would be. So the next file we're going to look at is duplex lot sale. All right. Now, I have literally looked and searched for anything and everything that not just says has potential of a duplex, or it's pretty common for land to be listed saying duplex, could be duplex, could be triplex. Well, after you fought with the city and the county for 2 or 3 years, maybe, but I found one lot and one lot only in a fair and open market that pertains to this, but only pertains to this because it's the only one I can find. Duplex land, because of decisions that were made regarding zoning and people not wanting duplexes in their neighborhood, there's not a whole lot of it just sitting there not built on. So This particular one has a listing date of July 2021. I can tell it's a fair and open market because it takes them 113 days to sell it. And they first try to sell it for $175,000. So it isn't like they're knocking down their door and saying, hey, I'll give you $50,000 more. And then they drop the price to $149,500. I see that information in the comparable sales, and they have a closed sales date of 12/3/2021 at 135. When I look this up in GIS and keep searching around, well, I see it GIS. As you move on down, you'll see a picture in GIS that a duplex is actually under construction. At the time they came in and assess it. And if you look at the square footage, you know, it's not a luxury kind of duplex. It looks like they're just making a regular old duplex that can be a rental property. So I see one sale and one sale only of duplex land, and that's at 135. Okay, so I then asked the rhetorical question in the next line. All right, assessor says, my property is worth $616,312. So let me take you through the process I go through to try to figure out if that's true or not. There's a file called Question Out PDF. So first, let's look at this, my property. If you click on that, the first picture is the property from the front. A little zoom in, and if you'll notice and look closely at that driveway, it actually needs to be replaced, but I'm not going to because then my assessment will get a left. I'm literally no longer going to do a whole lot of maintenance to my properties. You can see my luxurious 5-foot backyard on this approximately 5,000 square foot lot. And as you skim on down, you'll see some of the windows are still from the 50s, especially the basement egress windows. And we have tax record information that comes up next. And that's another, as you get down, more tax record information. And then a sketch of the property. I have pointed out to the assessor more than once that besides the fact that they won't tell me what basis are they using to assess the basement at, in other words, I suspect they're taxing me as quote-unquote livable finished square footage. The basement sketch is actually off, and it's off because at some time in the past, prior to my ownership, somebody built, I guess the best way to describe it basically would be 2x4 walls essentially inset. And some of those walls have drywall, some of those walls have drywall ripped off. By ripped off, I mean completely removed. I take the position that if the city can prosecute people for letting people be in their basements because they're not high enough in height, then since it can't really generate income from it, I just let them sit. And anytime that something goes wrong, tear into it, get access to what needs to be repaired, and move on. So the basement square footage is incorrect. But since the assessor won't even say what square footage is he assigning to it, don't even know how to come up with an idea of what's the relative difference in value. So summary would be the assessor then, at least in the last 2 to 3 years, has always been starting out at between 140 to 171 above what the Board of Equalization, after looking at closed sales, adjusted the value to. as the duplexes are always too dissimilar for cookie cutter kind of AVM approaches, we need to figure out a different way to come up with value. So next, bring up the file, not these duplexes. Okay, as you bring that up, page one shows that I go through a process of trying to figure out what duplexes have sold, and shows the high price, low price, and I'm looking, trying to stay within a reasonable distance from my property. So at first glance, one might say, well, looks like the assessor was correct. After all, the average listing price was $618,780, and the median listing price is $615,000. Well, there's more to the story. So let's skim on down. And now you start getting to properties that are, say, around $600,000 that sell. As you look at the inside pictures, inside quality is typical for tract homes, carpet, vinyl floor, fiberglass tubs. Quite frankly, not at all and nothing like my property. And in fact, at one, an agent is saying it's 3,186 square feet for $595,000. There is one in particular I want to point out to you, which is MLS number 2145764. It's the next one that comes up, which is property at 3612 U Street. Now, I'm searching for duplexes. This agent has made the data to be in such a way that it comes up as a duplex. However, if you read the description, it's a complete lie. It is not a duplex. It is, in fact, a single-family home with an ADU. And I'm starting to see that more and more. For instance, as far as I know, the ADU rules in the city of Vancouver say ADUs can only have one bedroom, yet this agent is saying that it has a two-bedroom side. The same exact thing happens. You can see the inside and outside pictures. And there's another one at 36 U Street, Vancouver, that does the exact same thing. Lo and behold, I think there's another one at 3716 East 18th Street that they do the exact same thing. They are saying they're duplexes. And I stand corrected on this one that I'm up to. It actually is a three-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath duplexes. But the point being, for something that's about a $650,000 house or duplex, you're able to get a brand-new property with no maintenance, no repairs, something that one can rent today. Now, I'm up to the one that's $670,000, which is at which is MLS number 2147464. In other words, it sells for $670,000. Look, and it's in the Lincoln area, so it's on a lot which is closer to 10,000 square feet. The approximate building square footage is 6,800 square feet. From my perspective, it's a fair and open market. Wasn't something that it sells in a day or is a pocket listing where there really isn't competition. So this one goes through a process of listing it for 730. You can see this in the comparable information. They closes at $670,000. Is it like my property? No, not at all. It's amazingly awesome compared to what I have, but yet $50,000, $60,000. In other words, I'm trying to show you in a nice way, and look at the inside. even though some of it's dated, still in amazing condition. This again would be what I would call a owner-occupied type duplex. I see extensive hardware. I see incredibly extensive brick. And though now, just my own opinion, the area there up in Lincoln is probably slightly better than what I have. And other ones around 600,000, same thing. What people can buy, they're almost always at least three bedroom somethings. Or not what they can buy, it's what they actually bought. Now, trying to find others, in other words, I started off with, give or take, this is what he thinks my property is worth. So the next file to look at is, the file that says 12 sales. Okay, so on these sales, these would be the other duplexes. And I'm just trying to find anything, and I'll point off some ones that catch my attention. One that is at 216, the property is 814 East 28th Street. So this is a duplex. It's built in the 50s like mine. And then the very next sale property that just says 808 810 East 28th Street. So that is MLS 2101607, and the one above was 2162813. This is also the duplexes that the assessor says sets the value for my property. As one skims through these, you see variations in price, but a good summary statement would be looking at the highs and looking at the lows. The high sales price is $479. The low sales price is $411. I'm sorry, the low sales price is $354.11. But the median or typical sales in the time period that this is supposed to be looking at is $411,625. And one can look at them with more details going through, seeing there was plenty of condos that were sold. And I simply would say my duplex in value is more like these than the first ones that we looked at that were well above $600,000. Now, because the assessor has focused or sent me something that says the property or my property is like the one that says, the file says assessor duplex.pdf. If you bring this up, I've actually visited the site and taken pictures. So these are the same duplexes I picked up in the MLS, and these are also the properties that the assessor says he came up with my assessment based upon these duplexes. Now let me point out the obvious. Brick. An extensive use of brick. So there's page one showing lots of brick. Looks like a relatively new fence. Looking at the duplex that is on the left, that we're looking at. Again, not just a teeny amount of brick on the front, but brick around. On the side brick, in the back brick, with a new fence. The duplex on the right, brick on the front, brick on the side, One of them has a garage, one doesn't, and has, not an amazing backyard, but way better than my backyard. So from my perspective, this would be a good example of probably an owner-occupied duplex. If I were to guess, I bet a relative lives on one side and they rent out the next. So when it comes to the issue of this value of brick, I have included something called realbrickcosts.pdf as a file. Okay, trying to, in the information that is sent to somebody saying, get estimates. Well, I actually tried multiple times to get estimates as to what it would cost to make my duplex completely covered with brick. First of all, I found out there's very few people that actually do brick. It's typically now just people in commercial. And I couldn't get anybody to do it. But here's what I was able to find out. So I'm going to just read it. So cost of real brick siding, just the materials in January of 2023. So I've made more than one interview with companies. And they pointed out to me that these days, if one wanted the look of real brick, they would do something called brick veneer that comes in sheets. So to try to figure out how many bricks would even be needed, of course, one can take the length by the width, by the height, and remove the windows. Mutual materials is where most people in the masonry business buy their brick. And they don't do it by pallet. They do it by how many totally order. It's $1.85 per brick, which does include when you're buying a lot of them delivery. So they say and there's a system that they use, and I also use to double check it. As called the Omni calculator to figure out how much do you need. So in this case, 14,000.13 bricks at $1.85 is $25,294 plus sales tax, making a price of $28,221. But you need mortar. So in this case, 351 bags of mortar. That, the price from Home Depot was a better price. With job site delivery and sales tax, $4,023. Keeping in mind, $32,244 is just the price of the materials. Online estimates for labor and materials for brick range from $20 to $50 a square foot, not square footage. We calculate square footage when it comes to walking around inside, but we're talking about the surface face of the property. Assuming that then there's 208 linear feet of brick, it's installed 10 feet high, and only 3/8 of an inch of mortar is used. That is total of 2,288 square feet of brick. So here's a range. I know that just the mortar and bricks is $22,800. Using a factor of 20 to 88 times 50, well, that's $114,000 for labor and material. So for the assessor to say that my property is the same as those two brick duplexes is quite interesting, very off. Okay, sir, per suppliers, this cost of material actually in 2023 is actually slightly less than 2022. Here's where some of this information came from. Screenshots. brick veneer can be between $4 to $10 a square foot. However, brick veneer did not exist like 4x8 sheets of super thin brick that gets attached, sort of like siding. Again, real brick can range from $20 to $50 a square foot. That's in that screenshot. The next screenshot shows how brick was done in the 50s. I actually own another building that I have had to open up an inside wall, so I've actually seen this before from the inside, where you see brick going up. It's being held with straps, and it has an extra foundation board. And here then is screenshots of the Omni calculator. Continuing on, what I haven't dealt with is issues in regarding the basement not being habitable. So I'm going to open up that file next. In other words, while the assessor still will not tell me, have you included all the value? Have you included all the value of the basement in square footage? So I assume they have. I remember I was at my duplex one time, and someone from the assessor's department wanted to walk inside. And I said, well, can't go on the other side because I have to give tenant's notice even to come in their property, but I can take you in on this other side because I'm painting it. Of course, he's walking around saying, oh man, there's a lot of square footage finished. And I pointed out to him, well, what do you mean by finished? You notice there's no carpet on the floor. You notice I have the floors painted. You notice there's no beds or anybody living here. It's essentially my hodgepodge place to put appliances that break or extra furniture because the city has made it. So it's a problem to rent these basements. So bringing up the basement non-habitable.pdf, first thing I'd point out is that this policy from the city of Vancouver, which you can say, well, it's just a policy. They don't enforce it. I've personally been prosecuted for it. Took me $3,500 to defend myself. They did not prevail, but still cost me money that I never got back. So it takes you through alterations and ceiling height. And on page one, it says the minimum ceiling height for residential occupancies is 7 feet high. And once again, says permits have to be issued. You have to get permits and et cetera, which makes sense. Then they talk about how that something is not classified as habitable if it's only 6 feet, 8 inches high. Now, that whole policy has been altered. The original one from 2010 went through a big, long, convoluted explanation about how you could never sleep in your basement, even though, of course, the properties existed prior to zoning changes or even prior to the implementation, prior to there was even being building codes. I think it wasn't until 1969 that we got zoning in the city of Vancouver. So everybody acts as if existing properties have no rights and takes big money to defend one's rights. But the bottom line is, at the time I had that conversation with an assessor years ago, you know, I was pointing out to them the information that the city had done then. The city has attached things from the Washington State regulations. And, of course, regulators are good at sitting around with nothing better to do than further regulate. And shows issues in regards to egress standards, which You can't get at, windows have to be 44 inches from the floor. And goes through some issues of R value. Even if you have existing construction, you have to bring it up to current insulation standards if you pull a permit or do any modifications. And more about window wells. So at the bottom of that, I'll take you an inside tour of one of these duplexes. So first picture is a kitchen. It's a hodgepodge of old and new. Newer appliances, but so what? It's a super crammed kitchen where we took out cabinets so they could have a dishwasher and a tile from the 50s and a cast iron sink from the 50s. A bathroom has that LVT flooring in it, but still has original tile. Now we're going down into the basement of that same property. You could say, oh, wow, looks finished. Well, yeah, that's how I bought it. Is it finished? Well, that's how it's used because this property is 6 feet, 3.5 inches high in all kinds of places. Therefore, City of Vancouver says that it is, quote unquote, not habitable. And I'm just gonna take a second and see if there's something I didn't show you. Looked at that one.
David, we're running over time here now, and I think we've built the house. Can we kind of wrap this all up into where we are at this point?
Okay. So while I understand that, I will try to, I got to bring you up so I can see you. Ben, didn't try to build the house, just try to point out to you the data that the assessor uses is wrong. I am regulated, so I cannot use the space. Therefore, I should not have to pay taxes on something as if it is double the square footage. That it isn't. Okay, therefore, wrap it up. Therefore, I ask the Clark County Board of Equalization to find in my favor and reduce the total value of my property from 616-312 to 411-625. I do believe that is consistent with what I first asked. Let me find it in my pages here. That is consistent. So, and I think if one were to go back and look at previous assessments, I see plenty of sales in the low 400s. Therefore, though I don't want to sell my duplex, I believe my property in a fair and open market would have sold in the low 400s, not 616-312. It's laughable. Only in my own opinion as a broker. So that ends my presentation.
So that 411 is kind of based on those 12 comparable properties that sold in the 400,000 range.
That would be true. It's also taking the assessment and deducting the value of brick.
Yeah, no, I got it. All of the issues that are raised up the basement and the
having taken the appraisal class, the continuing ed appraisal class, probably over 20 times in my life. Of course, I know that's not how an appraiser does it. I'm not an appraiser, but I know that the automatic valuation system that's being used is awful. I've heard, of course, you tell me, oh yeah, I've seen that in land. Yeah. In this case, we're dealing with land with, how does he come up with 175? Just because all land sold for that. So, all right, that's all I have.
Great.
And thanks for letting me go over. I have tried to not get upset or get angry. Just was starting to, just a tinge. Just a tidbit. I very much apologize. This is just on a personal basis. Now that I converted and became a Catholic, that happened 4 years ago, was a lifelong Protestant, I'm beginning to do meditation things. It actually is extremely helpful to my ADHD. I do not fly off the handle as much, even though I'm still on Adderall, my Adderall saturated brain. So, of course, that's because we were going longer because of my ADA needs, in that while the record shows I was really good at selling real estate, I just am not so good at written communication and boiling things down. I have to take people through the process I go through in order to say, yeah, I think that's what the value would have been. All right. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. You've taken us very well through that process. I thank you, and you'll hear from us within 30 days.
All right.
Okay.
You guys have a great day. Bye.
Thanks. Yep. Bye-bye. Close the hearing.
This is the May 3rd, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 709 for property ID 37911005. The property is owned by Terry Laura and Willie Laura. Board members present by video conference are John Rose, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Terry Laura. Is that who we have?
Yes,
Terry. Okay, so we have Terry Laura present over video chat for the appellant. So go ahead and raise your right hand to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision.
Okay.
So unless you have questions, I'm going to let you go ahead and tell us about this one. And basically, let me start by asking you, you purchased this in April of 21 for $730,000. And did you buy a burned out shell, or was it demolished, or what was the status of the property when you bought it?
So the house had a fire, and they were in the middle of getting permits from the city of Vancouver, and it was during COVID. It was a little bit more than they had wanted to take on, and I was deployed, and I knew I was going to try and retire and come back home, and my parents knew the area and just said, my daughter's looking for property to move back near us. And so when it came available, they called us and said, would you like to purchase a property with the blueprints at the city? We are, like, got our permits and everything ready, but you have to finish the demo and the finalization on the residential permit. Purchased it, and they actually transferred the residential permits to my name, and we finished the build about 4 weeks ago.
And you took possession in April?
Yes, sir. I didn't actually get home from deployment because of COVID. I was stuck overseas, so it took a while to kind of pick it up and run with the ball, so to speak.
So when did you start the demolition and rebuild?
It would have been Christmas of 2021, and then I would say about May. So we did the demo, and I did all the required inspections, and I was a little slow because I'm not a builder by trade. So, and then I think we started in approximately May for the construction, and I worked with the city to get all the permits transferred, and the we had some geotechnical stuff that we had to have transferred, some engineering. So I had to make sure that, like, the tree surveys, and so they did a, what they call, I guess, a PIR, a preliminary something reports, to make sure that, because I just said, I don't know what I don't know. So we went through everything so they could tell me what I did have and didn't have and what would work and what would transfer.
Got it. So basically nothing was done until Christmas of 2021. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, I'm kind of, it's a guesstimate because I know 2021 is when I retired that December. So I know I couldn't even have started until about Christmas. And so that's when I really started to take hold of what I needed to get done.
All right. I mean, the assessor has made the statement that you are not disputing the improvements on the building, but you're disputing the value of the land. But
correct.
If you didn't start anything, how can there be any valuable improvements on there?
Well, my question, yeah. So my question was, when I talked to the assessor, I was like, look, I realize that the value of the house, I'm going to demolition it, right? It's that there'll be no value at some point. I get that. And the city still, I also understand the city has to make a guesstimate, and there was a property tax. And, you know, I wasn't disputing the fact that there wouldn't be any tax, and the fact that they separate building and land value. I was like, okay, but then over the last 10 years, the land value on an average has increased about 1.8%. And I was aware that the land, that the house would change, probably because I've taken it down and rebuilding based on whatever I submitted to the city. But when they increased my land value by 41%, and I called and she's like, oh, well, the MLS listing said that you have a view. And I was like, well, I have a pointed property. I actually have to look left or right. Like, I don't actually have the view. And then I said, but my property value, the actual physical land, I was like, I did an assessment. And I said, the appraisal, what is it called? The appreciation value has actually declined in the area. And I ran two reports that said, and I went to back to the people I bought it from, and they gave me, okay, you bought the property with the permits, you bought the property. So I had to show that. And she says, yeah, we don't take that into consideration. We just look at the purchase value. And I said, well, even with the purchase value, you increased my land value by almost 50%. I think it was like 58%, 41%, 58%. It was go between 41 to 58%. Sorry. I'm like, so at that point, I was like, if the land value is actually declining in the appreciation values, I was like, I'm confused why I now have the highest property tax. She says, well, you wouldn't have been offended if it was a flat number and you were paying the same amount of taxes. I said, well, but I don't even have a house on it. It's like land. I mean, I have a house on it now. And I said, I do realize when I'm done, the city has the right to come out and reassess the house. But I said, I'm a little confused on why I would go up approximately 50% on my land. And I just said, you know, I've served my country for 25 years and I'm coming home and I bought a property to be near my parents and move my parents into my house. And I said, you know, at this point, 58% is a hard pill to swallow. I said, I'm not saying I don't want to pay my taxes. I have a hard time saying that my property is going to go up just land value at 50%. And then when I get done building a house and move my parents in, then what? Like, I've just taxed myself out of. And I know.
Okay. Let me just clarify something. You didn't do anything until essentially 2022. If you got started at Christmas time.
Correct.
And you demolished it, and then you started rebuilding, you said, in May. Did you have much construction done as of July 31st of 2022?
I had the foundation of the house and possibly the first, like, started with the first floor. So I think the entire foundation was done. I'd have to go back and look at my records. But then I think the first floor, and it's almost the exact same footprint as the house that was here, except they didn't have a garage. We added a three-car garage. And then, but it's kind of, it's the house faces the same direction. It's, we really just took the same daylight basement, same. And the only reason we removed the actual original basement and re-put concrete in is because it was cracked. And I was like, if my parents move in, I don't need to have a house that they, there's like I don't know. I like the radon. I was like, at this point, I just wanted to make sure it was a safe and livable place.
Okay. Here's the situation is that you paid $730,000.
Correct.
Piece of property.
Correct.
And they have valued it at $781,000, which that if you bought the property, even if it had a house on it, at right. $730,000, they would take that $730,000
yep.
and trend it to January 1st of 2022 at the average value of property sales in 2021.
Okay.
And that average for the county was 21%.
Okay.
So theoretically, they would have taken your 730 and trended it by 21% prorated for what part of the year you had it. So from April forward,
right.
And come up with a number. And that number would likely be more than the 781,000 that they put on it, regardless of whether it's allocated between land or building. And like I said, I don't know what portion of the building was done at they have until July 31st of 2022 to value your property under construction.
Okay.
That's a special provision for construction. So at that date, if you had some construction, I don't know if it was $370,000 worth, whether it was the basement or first floor or whatever it was.
Right.
Plus the 411, and it really makes no difference from a valuation standpoint for taxes, because whatever you spend on it, it's going to be added to it going forward. So they're going to probably reassess it in July or January of 2023. Well, you didn't finish it until just recently, right?
Within like the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, they will reevaluate the percentage completed as of January 1st of 23, so it will not be a completed project. And then after it's completed, they will value it. So if it's finished prior to July 31st, which sounds like it was, they'll get the full value of it for the 23 adjustment.
Okay.
All I'm saying is that there's not much difference of what you're going to come up with than the 781 for last year.
Okay.
And I don't know if you understood everything I've said or not, but you paid $730 for it. That's kind of a stake in the ground to start from, because the purchase price is the most defensible position of a piece of property.
Right.
The state defines the fair market value as what a willing buyer is willing to pay a willing seller. And you did buy a piece of property with plans and everything in place, so you didn't have to go through a lot of that stuff. You just assumed it and got the name changed on it, even though it took you a lot of effort, I'm sure, to get that all done.
Yeah. But, yeah, so I guess that was I just wanted to, like, she was just like, well, that's not in the MLS. And I was like, well, she's like, you got to bring that information forward that was included in the sale price. And so I had provided that documentation.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know if you have anything else in defense of that. I'm just saying that the 730 is the starting point, and then if you trend it to the end of the year, you might get close to that 781, or if you actually trend it to July 31st of 72.
Okay. And then but running the reports, there's been, like, we ran two reports that I shared with them, and there was like no appreciation, and there was actually a decline. So that's why I was kind of like, I didn't understand why the drastic increase.
Well, there were a couple of properties that have sold, I can't remember, it was in late 20, but clearly into 2021 in that area that have sold for atrocious prices. So they are pricing that property pretty heavily.
Okay, because I was like, I couldn't find anything, and I even called my realtor. We couldn't find anything that had sold that was comparable. So, and I'm not a realtor by trade nor a tax assessor, so I just was trying to get my ducks in a row when we talked.
So I understand, and like I said, that the total value is what you need to look at.
Okay.
the assessor has an obligation to value the total property by law at fair market value. The second thing is they have an obligation to make a reasonable allocation between land and buildings.
Okay.
And whether you like it or not, the 411 is not too far off from some of those properties in that area. And
but actually it makes my house the most expensive one in the area. And there's no way my house is the most expensive one in the area. But
yeah. Unfortunately, what you pay
can't compare to my neighbors. I'm not trying to compare and contrast. I just so okay. So I guess my thing is at 21%, that's still lower than 41%. So I guess at some point, I'm not saying that overarching once they do the assessed value of a new house and the land and that I won't have a higher value. And I understand that. I guess I was just trying to figure out why the normal, 15% increase or 21% increase, and I got a 41% increase. And, if at the end of the day when it's all assessed and the land value and the house value and the total was at a 21%, then I'd be like, that's just what it is. But I could not find why my specific property had increased so exponentially. And it just didn't seem logical, having worked in the government for a certain amount of years. Like, I can't even tell my employees I overpaid them. I have to take 10% of their salary for a repayment, so I don't even tell them like, hey, I need 50% of your paycheck because I overpaid you.
Gotcha.
So, and I'm not trying to be, I just am like, there has to be, and I'm not saying that over a 7-year period, I don't know, I'm just making up 7-year period that, we feel that this property has increased, our average increases, I looked up in the code was like 15% or something like that. So over, you can just expect a 15% increase until you reach the 41%. That might actually be a little bit more palatable, but my own personal, I'm on a retirement income and that's, I get that, but I wasn't expecting a 41% increase. And I was like, okay, gotta ask why.
I'm just going to ask you to focus on the bottom line and pretty much ignore the fact that it's 411 for the value of the land.
Okay. But then we went from 306 to 781 for a total. So,
yeah, you paid 730 for it. That's the peg in the sand that you have to deal with. Is you paid 730,
right?
So that was theoretically what the fair market value was the date you purchased it.
And then, but on my tax assessments for 2022, it says the previous year valued my property at 306,000, and then the new tax assessed is 781,000. So, if you're looking at the bottom line, that's still double.
Yeah. Okay, John?
Yeah, I'm looking at the pictures that the assessor presented to us, and we're showing a capped foundation, and then we're showing a house under construction. So I guess I'm going back and looking at it, saying your 730 purchase price was for the completed building.
No, so my 730%, my 730,000 was for the demolition permits, the residential permits, and we had a bunch of, I'm going to say PIR inspection. So I had to have geospatial, tree surveys, all of that. So I had purchased all of that with the sale of the house, so that I could move forward and finish the construction. So I had to finish and close out the demo and then transfer the residential permit to my name. And then they did a PIR just to make sure I was in compliance. And then I wanted to make sure that there wasn't something that got missed because they forgot to close out a demo permit, which we did. And right. So it was a few steps. It was a learning curve. So I took on a lot. I just did a few extra steps than I probably needed to make sure I was in compliance.
So then in addition to that 730 purchase price, you've had to pay for the building of a structure on building the house. Is that correct?
Lumber and trusses and stuff?
Yeah, for the new house that's there. That was in addition to the 730 purchase price or included in it?
Some of it was included, like the trusses and so anything that they had pre-purchased and then they decided not to do the build, I got it. They transferred it to me.
Okay. I think
I have, too. Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry, I wish I was a contractor. I could, like, talk the law. Talk, but...
yeah. Okay.
John Rose.
Thank you.
Well, I guess that's the question I have, that I'm looking for that documentation, is that we understand what you paid for the property.
Right.
And how much of that, of what you paid, was for the trusses and the lumber and the permits. So that way we can back that out and actually find out what you actually paid for the land itself.
Right. And so I had sent that to the assessor, like showing that I had that purchase price, and then like I can, let me see if I have it on the, I mean, like I can tell you like how much the trusses were built, like, you know, built out, or I can, I'd have to go back and say, you know, like permits were, I'm going to guess around 14,000 for the residential permit, you know, so like that's about how much they're running. I'd have to say, you know, like I could go back to Trusco and say how much their trusses. You know, so because they did the trusses, I ended up getting my lumber package through them so that it married up, right? Like, so what was the savings I saved by using those trusses or...
Right, because in this case, you're arguing the value of the land.
Right. Well, right, because I was like, so I didn't, you know, and she said, well, it's the bottom line value. And I was like, okay, but I could have argued the bottom line. It was just, I knew at some point the value of the house would change based on the fact that there was a new construction. So I was like, I knew they'd come out and assess that eventually. And I was like, well, if they come out and assess that and give it a 41% increase, and then my property gets a 41% increase, but then across the board, there's only a 21% increase, which I didn't know that at the time, right? I'm still like... So, I mean, I guess for me, I didn't really know what I was supposed to be presenting.
Thank you. They do a land value table, and that's probably where they come up with this 411.
Okay.
And then they value the total property, and then if they have a fixed land value they can assign, then right, the balance goes to the house. So regardless of how it's allocated right now, what they end up with is the total value is of the property will still be the total value, and that's something that you can certainly argue in the future once you get the house.
So, I guess I was just assuming that the house value would go up, and I was like, with the land, so now that I know it's a total, I mean, can they bring the land value, like, are they going to equalize that, or it just kind of is what it is?
It likely won't come out, but if land value does go down, and their land tables tell them that, they will drop it, yes.
Okay.
Because there was tremendous increase during 2021, and we have some softening in 2023. So, you know, it's not late 2022 and 23. There was softening of the market, but I don't know that it really decreased that much, but it certainly softened in 2022 and 2023. Okay, I think I have enough information. Any other questions? John and John?
Yep, I'm good.
Fine.
I'm good.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Stay. Bye.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the May 3rd, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 720 for property ID 193-117-000. The property is owned by Mary Jo Newton. Board members present by video conference are John Rose, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Mary Jo Newton present over video chat for the appellant. I ask you to go ahead and raise your right hand, and we'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1, 2022. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome. and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, I believe that I sent everything in, pretty much of what I have for proof. I took six properties that were the most like mine in the area and took their valuation. And what I, like many, nothing is, of course, similar. There's brand new properties versus ones that are 30 years old like mine is. And I have a feeling on my property, what's happened is they're going off the years before. I've had the assessed value changed almost every year on my property. And they're adding 30, 40% to what the valuation was each year. And I think it's because they're taking the predetermined value after the hearing. Because it went up from last year's. It went up from like 950 to 1,260,000. And one of the things with my property that I also sent in later are of my neighboring properties that come down the private road to my own easement that shows that I have an auto body shop that's quite in a couple of really junky rental homes that have been there. I don't think my house will ever be worth $1 million with that kind of properties there. But, you know, I know things are going crazy in this county, but I've had the outs on the market. The most I've ever been offered was $750. But that's pretty much what I have to say about the property. If you have any questions or anything.
The zoning on your property is listed on the county stuff as an RCR. Do you have some kind of a commercial designation out there for the zoning, or is it strictly residential?
No, it's rural. Well, it's rural commercial residential, I guess what it is. And a lot of them are CR1, which is the commercial side of the same thing. It's a Dollar's Corner business area, I guess, that's been here forever. I've owned the property since 1988. So when we bought it, we had the designation and put our home here and, you know, never realizing exactly how it would develop the way it has.
Okay. I don't have any other questions.
John Rose, any questions?
No, I don't think I have any questions. Thanks.
Okay, I think we have the picture.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you reviewing this again. Like I said, I still can't quite understand why it keeps getting so expensive.
Yeah, that's the same with most of us.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't had anybody willing, but I haven't had it in the market this last year at all. I did the year before, 2 years ago, and I'm planning just to stay here now. It's a good retirement place, I guess.
All right. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the May 3rd, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. Hearing before us involves petition number 712 for property ID 196337000. The property is owned by James B. Roberts and Pamela Roberts and is under trustees. Board members present by video conference are John Rose, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Pamela Roberts present over video chat for the appellant. So go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you gave in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. I've sent all my material with, and I also had two cover letters. So I don't have much to add to what I've already sent you. It was very difficult to figure out an assessment because 2021 was up and down year for assessments. But I did the best I could trying to figure out using the comps and some articles that I had read online about percentage increase in assessments for the county and Vancouver.
Okay, and how did you come up with that number that you have, 776?
Yeah, I looked at the comps that I had, chosen, and right, they were a lot lower than my assessed value. And then, as I stated in my cover letters, there was an article in the Columbian in November 21 that said that property values in Vancouver had gone up 5%. So I looked at that one. I looked at another one that was an RMLS market action report, January 23, and it said Southwest Washington went up 15%. Then there was another one that I found, redfin.com, that said the median sale price in Clark County had gone up 11%. So the information I got was all over the board. So I just looked at it and said, okay, I'm looking at the comps, and figured a right around 8% increase was, I thought, a fair increase.
Okay, I don't have any questions. John?
No, I don't have any questions on it either. Thank you. Looked it over here, so.
No, I have no further questions.
Okay, I think we have the picture.
That's probably the shortest meeting I've been in.
All right.
Thank you, gentlemen, and Phil.
Within 30 days. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Close the hearing.